Hello, everybody, and welcome. Spiritual Hollywood Hour. Take two. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I'm Kate Romero, your host, and I want to thank Don Newsom and Seth and now Nicholas over at BBS Radio for providing us with this wonderful platform to raise consciousness using Hollywood. Tonight we have for you a guest that I'm very excited to bring on and introduce you to. He's doing a fantastic movie and has a wonderful cause and a great movement. His name is Lewis Lotman of the Young Entrepreneurs Society. And the topic of this evening will be entrepreneurs, the secret behind their success, and the Yes Movie, which is something that Lewis will tell you all about. I'm going to give you the website right now so that you can pull that up, being this is internet. www.theyesmovie.com, where you'll find a really cool trailer that Lewis launched on the website on July 4th this year. www.theyesmovie.com, and just check that out, and I'll give you just a bit of background about Lewis. The Young Entrepreneur Society Entertainment is an independent media production company based in Miami Beach, Florida. The company's objective is to produce exceptional quality and inspirational commercial film and television content with broad audience appeal. And I think once you look at this trailer that Lewis has produced, you'll see that you're in for a real treat with anything that Lewis Lotman cranks out at his production company. Very inspirational, really fun to watch, cutting edge. And Lewis turned 30 last year, and he realized from experience that most entrepreneurs still struggle and realize that he could help empower young people to take ownership of their future and to design the lifestyle of their dreams. This realization inspired him to embark on a cross-country cinematic journey to capture the success stories of America's young innovators and how they're helping to reshape the world that we live in. And these are high school students who are changing the world, just rocking the world. And we're going to have Lewis talk to you a bit about that and what he's discovered and what he's found and what the secret is behind all these young minds who are taking action and doing such incredible things. So without further ado, I'd like to bring on Lewis Lotman. Hey, Lewis.
Hey, Katie. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you for joining us on Spiritual Hollywood tonight at BBS Radio. So I'm going to give the website again to those who are just joining us. It's www.theyesmovie.com, which is a movie that Lewis Lotman is creating and producing and getting out into the world, which is very exciting, all about young entrepreneurs. So, Lewis, what inspired you to grab that camera and go cross-country and do this wonderful thing that you've been doing?
All right, Katie. As you were mentioning, I did turn 30 last July 3rd, just turned 31, so it's about a year in
Happy
creation.
Happy birthday. Yep.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah.
So I've been an entrepreneur basically all my life. I'd held a couple jobs in corporations here and there, and 4 years prior to creating the movie, I had a sales training company, and I was giving seminars and lectures, and I would stand up there, and people would kind of look at me, because the people that I was teaching or the people that I was giving my talks to were usually more times than not older than me, and they'd think, you know, who's this guy? What's he going to share with us? What does he know? You know, what experiences has he had that he can share that's going to make a difference in my life?
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of the immediate thinking. And then I would open my mouth and I'd share the distinctions I've learned over time, and that helped make a difference for other people. And I had always gravitated toward other young, successful people who were up to amazing things. And when I turned 30, I said to myself, well, I know I'm an entrepreneur, but I'm still a young entrepreneur. And it was that big transition from the 20s to 30s, and it was kind of sitting with me that, wow, you know, I'm definitely an entrepreneur, and there's a lot of young people out there who are young entrepreneurs that are doing amazing things. Through the people that I know, through the people that I've networked with, who my business associates are, then I started reading about some of the folks and started doing searches on the internet, and I started realizing there are some really, really amazing people at a very young age who are up to some great things, who are building thriving, successful, fulfilling businesses that are producing dollars and cents in the millions and millions, and like you said, still in high school, sometimes
right.
in college, in their 20s, and they're doing things that people take a lifetime to do.
Right.
And because of my fascination with business and success and doing it quickly and doing it better than most people, I wanted to find out how they did it. You know, so I started researching them, and I thought to myself, there are some amazing people out here, more people need to hear these stories. what's the biggest and best way to get this message out there? I could write a book about it. I could start a blog about it. I could tell some people about it at my seminars. But then I thought to myself, what better way to do this than through the medium of film? What better way to do it than make a movie out of all these young people? So I set off on a journey. Spent about 2 or 3 months traveling the country, meeting the best and brightest, most successful young multimillionaire entrepreneurs in the country, as well as entrepreneur experts. So mentors, people who teach entrepreneurship, folks who are young at heart, but chronologically a little older than these 20-somethings. And they as well were sharing distinctions that they've learned along the way that these young people, whether by mistake or through perseverance and hard work, they had been able to build these companies. And that's really how the Young Entrepreneur Society, the Yes Movie, was born.
That's fantastic and very, very inspirational. So you've got a film crew that you've taken across the country to film these young minds that are out there just moving and shaking in ways that some people in midlife scratch their head and go, I can't figure out how they did that. Is there something in the water, or what's causing these people to choose this inspiration and just run with it? What is it that's causing it? Are there programs in schools now that are grooming young people for entrepreneurship? What have you found when you've done these interviews? What is the consensus that most people will say caused them to wake up and actually take action?
Sure, you know, like the old saying goes, success leaves clues. I remember one of our interviews, I was sitting with the youngest CEO of a publicly traded company, City Capital Corporation. The gentleman's name is Efren Taylor. He's 25 years old. The company controls over $150 million.
Mm.
He made his first $1 million in high school.
Mm.
And I said, you know, how does a high school, he was telling his story about how he raised $750,000 when he was 16 years old, and he was just telling the story. I said, hold on a second. Wait, we're missing a step here. Because in his story, he said, oh, yeah, then I got, you know, $750,000 of angel capital, and then we reinvested it here. I'm like, whoa. So the part from thinking of the business idea to raising the capital, I was kind of curious about. I said, how in the world did you do this? You know, there's a lot of 16-year-old kids out there with a business idea.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Lewis, I wanted it more than anybody. I worked harder. I worked longer. I stayed at the computer longer. I stayed up later. I put more time in the plan, and he wanted it more than anybody else. And that's what a lot of these people, you know, they're finding something that they love to do. So the fact that they might put in a couple extra hours, the fact that they might build a couple extra key relationships, they put in a little harder or more sweat equity, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
they wanted it more than anybody else. And that's definitely one of the many common themes that we're finding amongst these folks.
I think this is a wonderful concept and could be actually a movement to really wake up the young minds, to show them that they can absolutely make a difference right now, no matter what age they are, because I've heard young people come up with the greatest business ideas. Even 8-year-olds come up with great business ideas. I mean, the lemonade stand didn't happen by accident. And it's mind-boggling how much information comes through a young person's mind that just kind of goes, you know, like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles idea came from two people staying up way too late, drawing pictures and turning them into paper airplanes and throwing them at each other. And they said, you know, wow, I like that character you just threw at me, and I like this character you just threw at me. And by the morning time, they had a concept for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles idea, and they sold it, and they became millionaires. So, you know, people just playing around with a thought, tossing it back and forth, who don't act on it. If there was a surplus of ideas that never got acted on, it might take up a very large part of the planet. So there is something that's causing these people to act on those ideas, and that's the thing that I'm very intrigued by. What causes them, other than just they really wanted it more than anybody else? There are literally hundreds or thousands out there who are acting on their inspirations, aren't they? Young people.
Absolutely. And one of the things that you had mentioned, and something I know that you're a stand for, Katie, is raising the level of consciousness of Hollywood, is something that you mentioned earlier.
Yes.
And, you know, my mission is raising the consciousness of young people. Uh-huh. You know, I was one of these guys that in my teenage years and in my 20s, I was reading books on personal development, listening to audio programs and going to seminars and taking notes and taking in as much as I could. And I was probably one of the few who were doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I also believe that there are young people out there that have these, what we'll say, wacky ideas or crazy concepts, that, and they're called dreamers, and they're told to, you know, focus on, you know, their schoolwork or focus on doing this or doing that that other people think they should do. And most people are being programmed to do what people have always done, you know, and you live the life, you go to school, you graduate, you get a college degree, you work for someone else for 35 years, you retire, 5 years later, you die. Now, that can be a fulfilling life for a lot of people, but there are a lot of other people who want more. And these are the people that we've highlighted, because these are the people who are setting the example. It's kind of like that old the old story of Roger Bannister breaking the 4-minute mile. For years and years and years, nobody believed that they could. And now that these kids, and once the 4-minute mile was broken, hundreds and thousands of people break the 4-minute mile every single year these days.
Mm-hmm.
So once we're showing that these kids, as I call them, are making a lot of money and being successful in business, the strategies are there, and anyone can do it. When you find a successful strategy and you do what other successful people are doing, chances are, you know, you can achieve similar results. There's going to be different variables that come into play there, but I know for certain that these people are achieving the results, and we're getting this message out there.
That's fantastic. So your question was, you assembled 40 young millionaire entrepreneur geniuses, and you connected them with your film crew and sat down and interviewed them as to how they started and finished and got to where they are right now and the challenges that they overcame.
Yeah, with some people we sat for an hour or two, with others we sat for half a day or a full day, followed them around their business. And really just got to know the core of who they are, what drives them, you know, what did they do, what did they do differently. There's a great point in Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, where he talks about digging for gold and you give up 3 feet short of gold.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of people who attempt a business and they might be right there from breaking through or hitting that tipping point or making that one relationship that they need to really catapult their business idea. And these are people who were committed. I mean, they were committed to do whatever it took to have their business succeed, and they took risks. You know, on being an entrepreneur is all about taking risks. And we've got a great so many great stories stand out in my mind, Katie. I remember Sean Nelson, the CEO of Lovesac. He did $60 million last year.
Mm-hmm.
He's 31 years old. He came up with this wacky idea when he was 17 years old to throw some material in a sack and sit on it. It was comfortable. His buddies wanted them. Their buddies wanted them. Their family and friends wanted them. So they started producing these things called love sacks. The most comfortable thing I've ever sat on. I have one in my living room.
Wow.
And he told me he had no money. He needed to get materials. So he threw a plane ticket to China on his credit card.
Wow.
I think he was 20 years old at the time, 21 years old. He had no money, so he, on faith, a leap of faith, took a risk because of what he believed in and flew to China by himself. And I think he bought $50,000 worth of materials because he had a potential customer lined up. And when he got the order, when he made the purchase, he then called the potential customer and said that he could fulfill this order. He just needed the down payment of $50,000, which he then called them from China, which they got wired to him the next day.
Wow.
Then in turn paid the warehouse in China, flew back with everything, and so the story goes.
That's just amazing. And wow, what belief. I have a Katieism that I love to use, and it goes like this. Faith is believing in and acting on the unseen, and it sounds like a lot of these young people did that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, I believe for most of these folks, from what I really gathered from, that they saw it in their mind first. They visualized it first. They knew what they wanted it to look like. And I like to tell a lot of people, I'd like to tell everybody that I come across, that we're doing the same thing with the film. I know the impact that this film is going to have on the world and society and the way that people think and the paradigms that people have and the way that people grow up. You know, I want to see a world where people can take ownership of their financial futures, something that I always dream of doing.
Right,
and,
right.
And kids having options. Imagine being in high school and saying, I'm going to go to college to study something that I love. You know, I don't have to do what my father, my mother, or my community tells me to do, but I'm going to study something I love.
Right.
Because I have a self-sustaining business on the side that can afford me to do that. I think
right.
That's beautiful.
That is beautiful. And I'm just looking here on the website. It says, like every hero, Lewis was thrown into crisis as he was presented with evidence that the fundamental premises that ran his life were untrue. What does that mean exactly?
Yeah, what that means is, where I'm from at least, whether I made up this story or it's true or it's so, is that I was taught that you go to school, you go to college, you get a college degree, you work 9 to 5, you get 1 or 2, 3 weeks off vacation every year, you know, you get married at a certain age, have kids, which is fine, you retire at age 65, and then you die 5 years later.
Mm-hmm.
That's what life was for me and my concept and my... And at least from the community that I had surrounded, or the story that I made of it, that's how things were.
Mm-hmm.
But then part of me wanted to do something I loved. I didn't want to be an accountant. I actually went to college, and I graduated college.
Mm-hmm.
My motto in school was C's get degrees. And Katie, I breezed through college with C's. I got that college degree. And
yep.
I don't know, since the time I graduated, if anyone has ever asked me what my grade point average was.
Mm.
I studied accounting for 2 years, and
right.
I hated it.
Right.
My point is that these folks had these ideas or these concepts in their mind that were different than go to school, get a college degree, work for someone else for 35 years, and retire.
The rebels, and I think we have a caller. Is there a caller on the line? Hello?
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 Yes.
Hi, who am I speaking with?
Joyce Schwartz.
Who?
Joyce.
Joyce Schwartz?
Yes.
Joyce Schwartz, hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm so glad you called.
I'm
Lewis, this
call
is...
I'm Joyce, though, okay?
Yeah, this is Joyce Schwartz.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Schwartz.
Hi, Joyce. Hi, how are you? Are we on the air?
Yeah, we are.
Oh, okay, good. I just heard you say something about visualizing for entrepreneurs. Is there any way that you could walk us... I've been an entrepreneur for 15 years. Can you walk us through how to do that? Because even for us that are veteran entrepreneurs, sometimes the bogeymen get us down, you know? And we don't want to... We get so scared, you know, of just making our monthly... paying our bills and stuff. So can you walk us through how you visualize or what you've learned or maybe a tip or two on how these people, you know, visualize success? Is there something they do? Do they write it down? Do they have a vision board? Do they have a list? What did you find?
Right. It sounds like you're in the right direction. Here's my question to you before I share that. And really what I can do is share my experiences.
I
can share what I got from these folks, and I can share with you what I've done. My question is, do you know exactly what you want the future of your life and your business to be?
Well, I think so, yeah. I've worked it out. And
okay.
I have a new book coming out this fall, and I'm going to take a little bit of a sidetrack into a new venture now.
Awesome. It sounds like you're doing all the right things. And this conversation isn't only for Joyce. This conversation is for everyone that's listening to this call right now. Is do you know exactly what your future to be?
Now, what if I had said no?
I would say be very specific. Be very clear on what you want that future to be. Paint a picture. You mentioned the vision boards,
yes.
I think is a great idea of surrounding yourself with images and experiences and support structures that empower you to live that vision.
Can
the people
you
in your life,
the
places.
Is?
Yeah, the support structures. Do you have, are you surrounded with people in your life that empower that vision? If you're
that's
married
really
and you have a husband or wife or kids
yeah.
or family members or friends that don't support that vision, it's going to be very difficult to create that vision.
Yeah,
without
I think you're right. Yeah, I think that's what happens to some of us, too, that are entrepreneurs, is we get either to a place where we're working by ourselves on a project or we get some negative people around us.
Mm. Yeah.
And how do you get back in the positive thing? What have you found out?
Right. Well, you know, I always play with these five areas of my life between my physical health, my mental health, my emotions, my finances, my relationships. And these are all these things that we're dealing with, and we try and stay balanced. And when you find an area that's lacking, that's an area that you have to address. You know, if you're not happy and healthy in your body, if you're not happy and healthy at home, if you're not happy and healthy with other areas of your life, you're going to bring it into your business.
Now,
you know,
does your movie talk about these people other than their business? Does it talk about other parts of their life?
Yeah, we definitely talk about other areas in the film. It's really the full scope of being a successful young entrepreneur. What does it mean to be a successful
thing, like the Silicon Valley guys that just make money and stuff? You know, they don't think about the balance thing, I think, unfortunately.
Right. Ironically enough, we don't have a lot of folks who are these Silicon Valley entrepreneurs. We have people from all walks of life, and
good.
You know, you can look at our cast list, and you can kind of see what their stories are. We have links to all of their websites. But truly, with that vision, is setting up the structures that support that vision. And Jim Rohn said, you've got to stand guard by the door of your mind. You know, it's not only the people on the outside that may not be supporting yourself, but look at the thoughts that govern your life and drive you every day. Are you supporting that vision? Are you stepping into that vision? What are the thoughts? What are the actions? What are the things that are stopping you from creating that life or creating that business that you imagined in your mind?
Wow, where are you every day? Can I call you every day?
Right, well,
thanks
certainly a lot. Stay posted to the Young Entrepreneur Society.
Okay, I will.
Movie.
Thanks a lot. We,
absolutely. Join our mailing list. We are launching an entire
campaign. Okay, I will get on the mailing
campaign.
List. Okay,
yeah.
Thanks.
Thanks, Joyce.
Okay.
Nice to meet you. Hey, Lewis. All I wanted to say was, whew, you go, boy.
Well, that's the thing. When you're surrounded by success, there's really not many other things that you can be but be successful.
Well, it's saturation.
If you're surrounded by negative things and negative people, it's so hard to rise above. I mean, you know, I say, Katie, there's three things that can happen when you're in a situation in life that you want to change. You can stay where you are.
Mm-hmm.
You can decide to bring the people and the places and the experiences with you, but that's pretty hard to get all those people that might be holding you down.
Right.
Then at some time, you got to detach yourself and move on.
You know what? That's exactly a chapter that my sweetie John and I are going through right now, and we understand that those who are meant to be in our path again will show up in our path again after they've gotten some wisdom they need along the way, and we've gotten more wisdom to impart to them in the future. So, hello? Hello, we have a caller?
Yes, hello, this is Joe Palmieri.
Hi, Joe.
How are you?
Lewis, congratulations, sir.
Thank you very much, Joe. How are you?
I'm terrific, and I have a question for you, Lewis.
Yeah.
Would you take a minute to discuss what do you feel the importance of mentorship and how in your life you've gone about finding mentorship when you have a new idea and you want someone to help guide you?
That's a great question, Joe. One thing about mentorship is there are mentors all around us at every moment of our life. You know, what's something that you want to do in your life? I want to lose weight. I want to start an online business. I want to start a retail business. Where do we find a mentor? How do we find a mentor? I pose this question for everybody on the line right now. How do you find a mentor? Katie, how do you find a mentor?
Look in the mirror.
You look in the mirror. That's a great one, but I've got one that's almost as complex as that. How do you do or get anything that you want in life?
You believe you can.
You believe you can, and you do something that's so crazy that you might just get a mentor. And if you're real crazy about it, you might get a great mentor. Now get ready for this. It might throw a lot of us off, but
okay.
You might get the best mentor in your town. You might get the best mentor in your state. You might get the best mentor in your country, in your industry, in your business. Here's what you do. You ask.
Mm-hmm. And the bigger they are, the more they say yes.
Yeah. The challenge is that most people defeat themselves prior to asking.
Mm-hmm.
And really, if you provide enough value, if you provide enough service for someone, take someone out to lunch, offer to take them to a ball game, you know, offer to do something for them, it's the law of reciprocity, reciprocation. When you do something for somebody else, they feel obligated to do something for you. And a lot of times for successful entrepreneurs who've made it, they know what it's like to be in a position that someone else is asking them questions, because I assure you, everyone who got to the top, whatever the top is, they were asking someone for help along the way, and someone provided them help. And the laws of the universe say it's time to give back now. So, Joe, it's a great question, Joe. And for those folks that are out there who've reached a stop or a stumbling block in their business or their life or the area that they're in, I would go out there and be unreasonable. ask. Ask someone you never would have asked before. Ask in a way with passion, with belief, with commitment that you're going to get the answer that you're looking for.
You never know. Richard Branson might say yes. He has before.
I believe he's actually mentoring kids in Africa right now, if
yep.
you can believe that.
Yep.
That's fantastic. Lewis, would you add something on persistence? I know you mentioned earlier the gold miner who stopped 3 feet from one of the largest veins around. And, you know, in your own life, have you come across walls, obstacles, things where it really tried you to the core to be able to keep pushing through?
Yeah, thank you, Joe. I remember when I got out of college, I moved to New York City, and I got a job selling telecommunication services, and I had a boss who said to me, "Hey, Lou, you want to make $100,000 this year?" I said, "Yes, sir." I didn't know any better, and he said, "Here's what you do. You go out there," and he points to New York City, and he says, "Go out and tell 50 people every single day what you do." And I said, "Okay, 50 people." I write it down in my notes, and then he looks at me, and he said, "What are you waiting for?" I'm like, "Uh-oh, what do you mean?" He said, "That's what you do." So day in and day out, for 2 years straight, I was walking up and down the streets of New York City, going in every commercial building, helping people get high-speed internet access, save money on their phone bill, and I was getting a lot of no's. Now, there was a point where someone could say no to me, and I could have felt frustrated about myself, and many times I did. Yet, I had an ultimate outcome. I had something that was more important to me, which was my end vision, my end result, my goal along the way that drove me to be persistent. The no's didn't matter. They were merely stumbling blocks. In fact, I learned the way, and I encourage everyone, along the way when you try and set up that online business, you try and build this relationship, you lose this one account, and you have to go find another one, find a way to be playful and play with the resistance that you get in business. You know, have fun when you get a no. You know, every no that you get brings you closer to a yes, and every failure that you experience is a learning lesson within itself. And I once heard that the bigger lessons are usually filled and kind of mucked in with all the tough experiences. So, you know, however that's said, when you're going through something that's really challenging and you feel that you have to persist on, the harder it is to move forward, the bigger the lesson is, the bigger the payoff that's waiting for you.
Absolutely, and if I could just add to that, I have a quote on the end of my emails that says, "After that final no, there comes a yes, and on that yes, the future world depends," by Wallace Stevens. And if you're not getting told no at least 3 times a day, you're not really trying.
I think that's a terrific comment. I have one that I use to inspire people that I work with, and it's as simple as, when you're going through hell,
don't
stop.
Don't stop and take pictures. That's right.
Well, congratulations again, Lewis. It's been fantastic. It's always wonderful to find out what you're up to.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate that, and good luck with everything. I'm sure we'll chat soon.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Joe.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye. Awesome. That's great. So what we were talking about before the caller called in was about cutting ties with people who tend to have held you back. And a lot of people don't know that that's an option. And what I'm finding, Lewis, is that a lot of people don't know they have options. Like these people that you've been interviewing, the 40 geniuses that you've been interviewing, and I believe for me, and being this is spiritual Hollywood, I can say this. If I'm going to say it anywhere, I can say it on BBS Radio. And that is, to me, genius is not based on academics. To me, genius is based on how connected to source you are, to your higher self. And the more connected to source you are, the more your needs are fulfilled, the more you will take that risk, the more you will believe in the unseen and act on it and bring into the physical from the meta the vision that you have for yourself. So it's like for me, one thing I was told by a few people is I have a gift for bringing the meta to the physical, and I believe it into being. And a lot of people have it backwards about how to do that. A lot of people believe, you know, well, I'll believe it when I see it, when actually what's true is I'll see it when I believe it. And that, you know, that might sound just a little woo-woo to a lot of people who are entrepreneurs, and I believe it's an element that could be missing in a lot of people's lives, is that belief in and acting on the unseen, that faith. All it takes is the faith of a mustard seed to cause you to take action towards something that you're inspired to do. And inspiration simply is a term that means in spirit, connected to source. When you're connected to source, you are inspired, inspirited, and that's when to move, and that's when to act, and that's when to trust your knower. And it sounds to me like that's what you did when you got the film crew together to go and create the Yes movie, is it not?
It absolutely is, and a couple of things on that. There's a poker term that I like to use when this is all in, kind of taking your ships to a new land and burning those ships.
Yes.
The only thing that you can do is succeed. You know, I tell people where, you know, here's a secret. Not many people know this. I've never made a movie before. I've never made a full-length feature 90-minute film.
Yeah.
And what I'm doing is taking one step at a time, and each time I take a step, as you know, Katie,
the next
one's revealing itself to me.
Mm-hmm.
And each and every way, there's a strategy out there of how to make a successful, world-class, phenomenal, you know, groundbreaking movie. And each step of the way, there's some challenges, but I'm following the process of what it takes to do to build a successful business based, or a successful movie, based on the people who've done it in the past, right? So I might not know what's going to happen in 9 months. I might not know what's going to happen in 5 months. I might not know what's going to happen in 3 months, but I can see just as far as I need to see, where each and every day I have my plan of action, and I've got my wish list of where we'll be in 10 months, in a year, in 2 years, but I know that this thing is moving along in the direction that I've intended it to move from since its creation. Go ahead, Katie, I beg your pardon.
That's okay. I was just going to use an analogy. It's like when we're driving in our car at night and our headlights are on, we can only see about 20 feet in front of us, and that's all we need to see to get where we're going.
Jack Canfield in The Secret says that you do that and you can drive all the way across the country.
Absolutely. So what you're saying is that's basically what you do. It's like, what do I do with the next 20 feet?
Right.
And that's one day at a time. And what were you about to say before?
And that's really all we can deal with. And just to touch on that one area that you said about, you know, losing the attachment from things that are holding you down.
Yes.
One of the most amazing things that I've experienced, and one thing that was challenging when I first started dealing with that concept of, you know, you'll see it when you believe it. Well, you've got to believe it, then you'll see it. And that was difficult for me to accept. And the more that I'm believing that and living it, the more that it's taking action. And the structures of the people or the places or the thoughts or the experiences that we need to detach from, we create this clearing. We create this opening or this space where anything is possible, where the future is our canvas.
Mm-hmm.
And we can really create what it is that we want in our business or in our life. And at that point, it's just a matter of, okay, what do I have to do next? What do I have to do next? What do I have to do next? And if you follow the process, you'll get to where you want to be.
Well, actually, that's absolutely brilliant and true. And one thing that people might want to consider for themselves who have been a bit cynical and not understanding the laws of attraction, let's say, it is a marvelous thing to give up the cursed hows and not ask yourself, how will you do this? Because the minute you ask yourself, how am I going to make a 90-minute movie, you're going to stop yourself in your tracks. You can't go any further than that.
There are so many moving parts as I'm learning along the way.
Oh, I know.
And I'm loving the process.
Sure.
And I'm loving the process.
And I see that you're loving the process and the passion that you brought to me with you know, when we all had lunch together was like, I'm, you know, being a talent manager and a host of Spiritual Hollywood, which is, you know, this is a perfect fit for you to be on the show because you are making a movie that will raise consciousness and will help people believe in their own divinity again and inspire them to get out there and to, you know, take some names and kick some butt. Because
and my goal really is to bring that message, what you just mentioned, and how you are so aligned with that to a younger generation.
That's awesome.
It's so rare that you see it under, I don't want to say 30s or 40s, but you rarely see teenagers and 20-somethings having these kinds of conversations.
Oh, absolutely. And I just really love that you were reading the books and listening to the tapes and, you know, going to the seminars as a teenager yourself. I did the same thing. I've got 35 years of spiritual study and, you know, Think and Grow Rich and The Power of Your Subconscious Mind and Out on a Limb with Shirley MacLaine. So I took all these other concepts and blended it with spirituality to the point where I have a way of actually helping bring a person back to their divinity in 2 hours. So it's, and the divinity is just who you were born to be without all of the the pain that you've accumulated through life. I just leave you with the wisdom that came to bring you. And that's really what the pain is for, is to wake you up, get you conscious, get you moving. Because like Joe said, when you're going through hell, don't stop and take pictures. Just keep moving. And I want to give your website again to our listeners. It is www.theyesmovie.com. What a great, great website. www.theyesmovie.com. There's a wonderful trailer on there, and it's just a sampling of what the 90-minute film will be like. And why don't you, if you would, Lewis, tell our listeners some of the guest speakers that you have that you interviewed. I know Bob Proctor is one of them, and
Bob Proctor, some of the mentors that we have. We have about 10 seasoned mentors, and we have about 30 very powerful, successful young business people. And of the mentors that most people will have some name recognition with are T. Harv Eker, Marshall Silver, Mark Victor Hansen, Les Brown, Randy Gage, amongst a few others. And then some of the young, successful folk that we have, I mean, they are all just absolutely amazing. I encourage you all to check out our cast list and start doing some homework. Study these folks' lives, because they've been able to do what most other people take a lifetime to do, and they've done it in just a matter of years. And with the Internet today, the opportunity for everyone is there. We have folks, for the co-founder of Tap Out, Dan Punkass Caldwell, Efren Taylor, just to name a few. There's just so many out there. Farah Gray, Cameron Johnson, they all just have amazing, amazing stories, and I just can't say enough of how much they've accomplished and respect I have for them. They all just have amazing, amazing stories, and I really encourage you to check out our movie and study what they're all up to.
That's wonderful. And when do you expect the movie to make its debut?
Well, we'll be releasing it in early 2009. We want to be very strategic about the launch about it. We want everyone to tell their friends about it, because once they do, they're going to want to watch it and watch it again and share it with more people, because I believe, and I know what's going to happen, if someone's going to watch this movie, they're going to have a lot of fun, they're going to see this cool lifestyle, and they're going to think to themselves, they want to be like these people. And they're going to believe in themselves that, hey, I had this idea, is it possible that I could do this? And when you enroll other people in your life into what you believe is possible, and they start seeing the stories of these other people, they will become those support structures in your life that will help empower you to create that business or that idea that you want in your life. So that's why I definitely encourage everyone to have other people tapped into this consciousness that Katie is sharing, the message that we're sharing through the movie, as well as many other areas. Because when you surround yourself with this type of community, it's really a lot more empowering than not doing so, or other types of communities that might be available out there.
Absolutely. And you have something called collective consciousness, that being that we're all energy and we all are, you know, pure vibration, when you're putting these concepts out into the world and making it available for collective consciousness, it acts as like a viral effect. And look what happened with The Secret, which was an internet campaign and just changed the world in a very short time. And a movie like this can inspire the young minds. You know, it is for a different age group, but I know that this movie will be helping anyone of any age, even geriatrics who really had a dream they've never acted on. It could just give them that extra boost and energy and vitality to get out there and give it all they got, you know, because a lot of people in their later years, I've heard them say, you know, if I knew I was going to live this long, I would have tried harder. So, you know, it's. I believe that a movie like this, Lewis, I see what you're aiming it at, and it's the young entrepreneur and the young mind, which is great because the youth is our future. And I also see the potential and the possibility for it to inspire and ignite consciousness in every age group, because who doesn't want a piece of that?
I truly believe that. Katie, there's a story I have to share with you. There's the gentleman, the founder, co-founder of Tap Out Clothing. I believe he's 31 years old. They did $20 million selling T-shirts. Mm-hmm. The company's been in business for 5 years. Now, Dan, his nickname is Punkass. He has tattoos all over his body, wears these big glasses. You always see him in black. Check out, you know, who he is. They have a reality TV show. And we're sitting there talking out at his mansion in California, and he has his Lamborghini right next to him, and we're just having a conversation there. And all of a sudden, I see him kind of say, "Oh, well," and I ask him, "What's going on, Dan?" He says, "I don't know if I should tell you." I'm like, no, come on, come on. And it took a little while to get this out of him. So he says, "Well, I listen to a lot of audiobooks on tape." And I go, "Okay." And he says, "Oh, I can't believe I'm saying this." I said, "What is it, Dan?" And he said, "I was listening to Martha Stewart's book on tape." He's like, "Man, I can't believe I'm saying this." And in that moment, as I'm listening to her, she talked about how she launched the magazine. And then Dan says, "Oh, my goodness, at that moment, I paused that tape, and I thought of a friend of mine who had this magazine. I think it was Black Belt Magazine or Mixed Martial Art Magazine. And he called him up and said, I think you should change the name of your magazine to Tap Out Magazine. And he said, I was thinking the exact same thing. They ended up forming a partnership. He licensed the name to them, and it's made him millions and millions of dollars since. And, you know, I truly believe that this was something that he created. You know, this was something that he brought into his awareness. This was something through his experiences, through his thoughts, through his vibration, through his energy, however you want to describe it. This was something that he did by staying focused, knowing what he wanted, and putting that out there into the universe and everything aligning for him. And yeah. It was a great story, because it's probably a story that you wouldn't expect to hear from this guy.
Awesome. You know, Martha Stewart, of all people, I think it's such a wonderful, inspiring story, because yeah. You never know who is going to say that one thing that wakes you up. You don't know. You could go through your life hearing the same thing over and over and over again from your parents, and then happen to hear someone in the grocery store say the same thing, but in a different way, and then you get it.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And that story will inspire millions and millions of people for the years to come, because it certainly inspired me, and I'm going to be telling the story for the rest of my life.
How wonderful that you encouraged him to actually speak up and say what was on his mind. And, you know, will that part be in the movie as well?
You got to watch the movie.
Good answer. What I want to know right now, Lewis, is who are your mentors?
Oh, boy, I've had so many. Number one, my mother and my father.
Great.
There's no question about that. They've been so supportive and helpful to me all throughout my life.
Now, even though they expected you to go to high school and graduate and go to college and graduate, you still decided after you did what they wanted you to that you were going to do what you wanted to.
Yeah, they wanted me to be safe and secure, and when they realized my passion and my integrity, which to me is the most important thing that I have in my life, governing the way that I am and be and, you know, go out there in the world with my relationships with myself and people.
Yes.
You know, the word is the last thing that I have. And that's one thing that, you know, my family has seen so much in me, and the world has seen so much in me, that they have actually come to a place where they know that if I declare it, if I go out there and speak it, it'll come so. So they've supported me in all of my adventures and my entrepreneurial ideas, and certainly this movie, and it's been great. Other mentors along the way have been Tony Robbins, Marshall Silver, Werner Erhard, amongst many others. Books that I've read that have made a massive impact in my life, Think and Grow Rich, As a Man Thinketh, The Instant Millionaire, just all the different people and places. Every man out there is my superior in one form or another. Everywhere I go.
What a wonderful thing to say.
And it's truly true, because everyone has God-given talents out there that we can all learn from, regardless of what they are. And it's a funny thing. If you begin to look for these gifts, if you begin to look for these areas of mentorship in other people, as going back to Joe's question, you're going to find them.
And you're going to find them in yourself.
You're going to find them in yourself, and it's a humbling place to get to, and it's a truly breakthrough place to get through.
Absolutely it is. And, you know, kudos to your parents. I can only imagine how fascinated they've been just watching you go.
Yeah.
Just watching you go, a wind-up toy. It's like, whoa, look at him go. He's our seed.
Yep.
That's wonderful. So I want to give you a website again. It's www.theyesmovie.com. There's a wonderful trailer on there that you can watch. And they can find out more about you on that website as well. Can they not, Lewis?
Yeah, they certainly can. I would just say join our community, stay posted. If you have any questions, I would suggest to you, I'm not sure if I should post my email address, send them to media at, if you can spell this, youngentrepreneursociety.com. Find the correct spelling. It's media at youngentrepreneursociety.com. and someone in our office will reply to you. And if there's a way that or something that you want to get a hold of me, I'm sure it'll be filtered through me, and we can have a conversation.
Right. And also, Lewis, on your website, isn't there a place where it just says contact where they can click on that?
Yeah, thank you very much, Katie. There's actually a contact us button down there.
Yeah.
And they certainly
you eventually.
Yeah, that's
right. Yeah, because you're very busy. And what's next on your agenda?
Well, what's next right now is putting the finishing touches on a revolutionary world-class film that's going to change the lives of millions and the paradigm of thought of people out in the world today and create ownership for young people of their financial futures and help them live the destiny that they only dream designing possible. So as in the next few months, as we put the finishing touches on this film, it's looking at new possibilities of marketing relationships to get our message out there,
mm-hmm.
and deciding how we're going to premiere and launch this movie, as well as the ongoing education that we're going to provide with the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll certainly, for those that are in colleges, look forward to a college screening tour with a speaking tour coming about with the cast members and myself. There, mm-hmm. you can have Q&A sessions. And then additional training seminars in person. We have a book coming up, so you can look forward to that. And just stay in contact.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, what I'm hearing is this is the kind of movie that you would have loved to have been able to see in high school, correct?
Oh, man, I would have loved to have seen it in high school and college. I wish I saw it last year. I wish I could watch it today, yesterday, and when it comes out, I'm going to watch it over and over and over, and people... You know, they hear me saying this, and they might say, oh, that's crazy. I remember when I used to work for Tony Robbins, and he told me about the time that he met Jim Rohn for the first time. And Jim Rohn, Tony used to work for Jim Rohn.
Mm-hmm.
And Tony went up to Jim Rohn when he was 17 years old, and he said, Jim, I want to be like you. What do I have to do? And Jim asked Tony, have you read Think and Grow Rich? And
mm-hmm.
Tony says, yeah, I read Think and Grow Rich. And Jim Rohn says, how many times did you read it? Tony says, I read it once. Jim Rohn says, I've read it 24 times.
Mm.
And Tony got the message. When I interviewed Bob Proctor, we're sitting in the penthouse of a Marriott on the beach in Delray Beach overlooking a beautiful ocean view.
Mm-hmm.
And we're having a conversation with Bob, and Bob pulls out a book. And it looked like the book was about 60 years old. And Bob said, this book is 60 years old, 50 years old, I think, 43 years old. And it was Think and Grow Rich. And he said he reads that book, a passage from that book, every single day of his life. And he's been doing so. I think he said 43, 46, 40-something years of his life. So when you find something that you believe is going to help you, these are the support structures that you create. Stay aligned with that message. Learn that message. Master that message. And share that message with others.
Absolutely. And you know, another person who did a very similar thing as Bob Proctor with Think and Grow Rich was Jerry Hicks of Esther and Jerry Hicks, The Book of Abraham.
Sure.
Jerry Hicks he found a copy in an old hotel, the original copy of Think and Grow Rich, and he asked the hotel manager, he had nothing to do in his room because he was on business and wanted something to read. The hotel manager said, oh, sure, you can keep it. We don't need that. And it turns out to be one of the original copies. And Jerry read that book over and over again and taught seminars for many years on that book. And, you know, through, you know, a series of, I won't say happy accidents, but predestined divine guidance, I believe, he met Esther Hicks, and they developed Abraham. And with those business skills and what he learned from Think and Grow Rich, he has used it in the development of the Book of Abraham. The whole conglomeration, and it's served him so very well. So that's a book that is timeless, and it used to have a lot more metaphysical things in it, all out, because back in the day that was considered to be against society, so they just cut it all out. But it's in between the lines. You can get the metaphysical concepts and the laws of the universe in there. So Think and Grow Rich is a wonderful place to start for anybody listening. If you haven't read that book, find it and read it. It's amazing what it can do. It just wakes up yourself, wakes up everything. I believe we're born knowing everything there is to know, and we forget that we know it. And then we meet people that remind us of what we know, and that book is wonderful for that very thing. So we're coming up
the
last...
That book in particular as well have had big chunks and chapters on the questions that have come up from our callers on this show actually today as well, and it's kind of funny that Napoleon Hill, who went on a journey for 20 years, you know, he was taking the railroad. There wasn't the internet to book flights. There were no airplanes out there.
Mm-hmm.
So in essence, this is kind of the journey of the Napoleon Hill for today, and sharing that message through film, where I've had an opportunity to meet these young people, study their success, and share the strategies that they've learned, and we're doing it through film rather than through a book.
Awesome, and how exciting. And one of the things you've said, Lewis, and that I agree to completely, is enjoying every single step, embracing uncertainty, giving up the cursed house, looking ahead and seeing your vision completed. Look at the end result, focus on that, and just keep believing and acting on the unseen. And I want to thank you, Lewis, for being our guest this evening. I want to thank our listeners for calling and for being there and supporting Spiritual Hollywood and helping us raise consciousness in every way that we can, collective conscious or individually or however you are. And if you're tuning into a show like this, then I know you're up to great things. And I just want to say, stand up really tall. I want to invite you to do that. Take a deep breath and love yourself. And remember, the last six letters of attraction are action. And thanks again, Lewis, for being our guest. We'll be talking to you soon. And thank you, listeners. And we'll be back next week. Good night, everybody.